Hey, this is Nathan Dales, and you're listening to Tobin Tonight.
I want to ask you to really start things off. Now, this is usually just a fun little conversation we have with people. I won't keep you too long unless you have nothing on the go, then yes, we'll talk for 3 hours.
I will talk to you for 5, 6, 7 hours if I have to. Really, don't worry. Yeah.
That's, see, now you say that, but the problem is then you'll be like 5 hours and you'll be like, fuck, Jesus.
And then all of a sudden it's June and now we're still talking. Yeah.
Be like, I don't know if you noticed, Nathan, they've done Letterkenny. Your character got death to the character. It's like, you didn't tell me. It's like, well, we were too busy.
I was doing an interview. What do you want from me?
Yeah, what do you want? You can throw that up there if you want. Nathan, I want to ask you first, like, to really start things off is, like, how do you feel? Now, this might be a little bit of a trigger question, but, like, how do you feel about those Edmonton Oilers, man?
Oh, my God.
This is my evil life.
All right. First of all, I'm out of here, number one. Second of all, how do I feel about the Edmonton Oilers? Okay, so here's the thing. Like, you know, I grew up in Calgary, so I'm a huge Flames fan. I've been a Flames fan for my entire life. I remember going to games with my dad when I was like 3 years old. So I've been going to the Saddledome forever, right? So because of that, technically, damn them, obviously. But they are a Canadian team. I really love playoff hockey. Like, holy shit, is it like not the best hockey in the entire world? Like, get out of here, right? Yeah. So I do want to see them. Like, if the Flames aren't in, I do want to see the Oilers doing well, just as I want to see the Jets doing well. You know, like, I want to see the Canadian teams doing well. And Edmonton this year, I think, has like a legitimate shot at doing pretty fucking well. And I hope they do. Now, that being said, where the fuck are the Flames, and let's have them go. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I feel you. It's like, I'm sure you can see by the surrounding here, it's a Detroit room. Detroit
memories. Yes.
But like, yes. My Canadian team is Toronto. But like, I feel like if it's your second team, like if it's your first team, Detroit, listen, like, I know they're not great. So when people tease me at Detroit, I do get a little bit like, fuck. But when it's Toronto, I can be in a Leafs jersey down in like Toronto Square. Yeah. And if they don't win against like Tampa, I'm like, fucking Leafs, they do this every year. And then some guy's like, that's your team. I'd be like, second team.
Second team. Come on. Let's be honest here. Second team, damn it.
Yeah. Then you get some other guy be like, they're my third team. Third team? Like, me and you team up against him. This is his third team. Let's figure out his first two. And he's like, well, first I go for like Seattle and then Dallas. I'd be like, Jesus. I'd be like, no. You get out of here. And then he's like, yeah, but that's your second team. I'm like, whose side are you on here?
Team first string
or team second string?
Come on, let's say it right now. Pick a side, damn it. Yeah. Pick a team for fuck's sake. Yeah.
Well, for fairness, I mean, I grew up liking Detroit when they were in the West. And then Toronto was East, so I could make the argument, this is my West team, this is my East team. As a kid, you're like, I have both sides covered. Thank you very much. And now when they're both in the same division, it's almost like, you know what? I know there's a rivalry, but it's like when you see fans at Toronto games and it's Montreal and they have the split jersey. I'm like, I'm like, both Toronto and Montreal fans, don't worry about fighting each other. Fight jersey guy over there. He can't pick a side.
You know what? That's totally what it is. All right, fuck the sides. Let's fucking fight jersey guy, because jersey guy's the asshole there.
Yeah, because he's going home half a winner, half a loser.
Regardless, he's losing at least part of the goddamn game.
Like, when the game's over, that's when you figure out who he's like. If like Toronto, Montreal goes in a shootout, and he's like, I'm like, there you go. You got exposed. You're happy. But he's like, but Caulfield didn't score. I'm like, okay, Toronto, Montreal, right there. There's your guy. Go get jersey guy.
Dude, that fucking fence sitting jersey guy.
There you go. I gave you an idea for a character on Letterkenny. Jersey guy.
Jersey guy. But he's okay. So jersey guy on Letterkenny would be the guy that just gets the shit kicked out of him all the time just for being a fence sitter.
Exactly. There you go. You have it. Like, I'm just trying to remember characters' names, like, because I know we had, was it Riley, like Dylan Playfair. And I'm trying to remember the other guy's name, but like, you just have both of them just in the locker room. They're like, pick a side, jersey guy. And then you never know his name. It's like almost like Fez on like that 70s show where you don't know where he's from. But then in the last episode, you can't even say it, because in the world we live in, if you're like, jersey guy is from Alberta or like Newfoundland, they'd be like, hold on a second. That's not right. So you just got to keep it a mystery.
Keep it a mystery, and then that's the thing. It's like, if you keep it a mystery, then it's at least there's going to be like less of like a melee and a huge fight if you keep it a mystery. If you pick sides, there could be one. Who knows?
Yeah, well, yeah. That's it. Yeah. I watched that 70s show. I've watched like that 90s show because I gave it a chance.
Did you like it?
You know what? Like, in fairness, I think I did not go to social media after episode one. Okay. I just kind of stuck it out. And then, like, there are definitely parts where I'm just still like, okay, is this for me? Am I supposed to be the target audience here? But
right.
I think with any show, you have to give it like 3 or 4 seasons. Like, you can watch Friends. Like, I love Friends. You can watch season one of Friends and you're like, all right, like, season one's like, okay. Right. But like, if we lived in today's world, it's like, it's just okay. It's done. I'm like, and then you don't get 10 seasons of Friends. Good job, assholes.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but that's the thing, though. It's like, but I think you're right, though, because okay. So making a TV show is hard enough, right? And so one episode, really difficult to actually like pick a side, okay? Either good or bad or whatever. Even a season can be fucking difficult to pick a side, right? It's just like, sometimes you need more episodes or you need more seasons. And look, it could take like a really good turn, you know? Season one or even episode one could be like, kind of whatever. But say you get into it, then it starts to get better. Then it starts to get way better. And if you'd only given it one episode, well then, you're kind of fucking yourself over, right?
Yeah, well, it's like How I Met Your Mother. Well, like, you can pick it with any episodes, right? Like, I look at, like, I think for me, I did it the opposite way with Friends. Like, I seen it at a Walmart and I bought season 8 first. And then I was just like, right? And then my friends were like, what are you doing? And I was just still like, well, I'm an idiot. I just want to see what it's about. And I was like, but then I watched season, I'm just like, okay, so I think it's like, it starts with after the marriage of Chandler and Monica. And I was just like, I'm lost. And they're like, no fucking idiot, of course you're lost. And I was like, okay. Then I watched it in order and I'm like, this is actually pretty decent. But I was never into Friends when it was on TV, so I was like a year later, like, I'm the guy at a party where it's like, have you ever seen Friends? Such a great show. They're like, when it was on TV, you idiot. So I did that with your mother.
Oh, really? I think that's so funny. Idiot. Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's a real conversation. No. Like, this is why I have crippling anxiety. No.
This is verbatim why I have crippling anxiety. Exactly. Yeah.
No, it's like, and then when How I Met Your Mother came out, it was the same kind of spinning wheel. I was at a Walmart and it was How I Met Your Mother and Big Bang. And at this point, I'm still a university student. I don't have a lot in my bank account, but I'm like, you have to choose one. And my brother's like, your birthday's around the corner. Do you really want to watch both? I'm like, I'll give both a shot. And I found myself favoring How I Met Your Mother more than Big Bang, because How I Met Your Mother, I got right into it because I guess in my stage of my life, I was like, I felt related to Ted. But in Big Bang, I'm like, I am not a fucking smart, geeky nerd that, you know, so I was like, I don't feel like I'm related to this character.
Fair enough. Totally fair.
I gave it time because I liked Kaylee Cuoco from 8 Simple Rules and I wanted to watch it for her originally. Yeah. And then I like both.
Hey, did you watch her other one called, I think it's called The Airline or something like that? Did you see that one? Yeah, the one about the plane. So if I'm not mistaken, it's got 2 seasons. What did you think about that one? Because I thought it was pretty good. Like, I thought season one was pretty good. I think I got through season two, but I thought season one was pretty good.
So my thoughts on that is, like, I watched season one. I haven't watched completely the whole season two. I think, like, just in terms of a character, like, I'm just fascinated with her per se, because it's just, like, watching her from 8 Simple Rules, where she's, like, the ditzy teenager, to Big Bang, where they kind of make her play ditzy, but at least they evolve. Now, granted, they didn't get the time to evolve in 8 Simple Rules because of the passing of Paul, I think Ritter. There you go, John Ritter. So, but it's nice to see, like, I thought that she was just going to be at first typecast as always the ditzy blonde.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, you know what? Like, you can either like a character and stay with them, or you can just be like, fuck it, I don't care about your next project. Like, I don't. Like, that's how I feel about podcasting, where it's like I seen Tobin on his own show and now I'm gonna watch him on someone else's show, but he's not being like, they're telling him he can't be humorous. I don't give a shit. I want humor, Tobin. But then there might be people that are like, that's my son you're talking about, I'm gonna watch him in everything. I'm like, thanks, mom. Can you leave the comment section, please?
Thanks, mom. If you could, and it's not that you shouldn't have any comments, just maybe tone them down a little bit.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? That last comment where it's literally like, he wet the bed till he was 10. I'm like, we didn't even talk about Bad Wedding. What are you doing? It's just like, it's just a funny story, darling. Bring it up.
No, nobody even said anything about Bad Wedding. Yeah, I know, honey. Don't worry about it. It's nice that people know you. They just want to know the real you.
Yeah, it's like their genuine intent in like something of that is to make you come across like you're just like everyone else. It's like, well, then why don't you just tell them I play hockey or soccer or that I was terrible at it? That makes me normal.
Or if I'm a regular person, why don't you tell them I like Kraft dinner? Or why don't you tell them, you know?
Yeah, why don't you go for the most embarrassing thing?
Yeah. I sometimes sleep at night like regular people do, rather than, oh, yeah, I wet the bed. And not just wet the bed, I really wet the bed.
Oh, yeah. It's like the scene from, what is it, like Waterboy, where it's like she wants to marry Adam Sandler's character. It's like, oh, yeah, that's his sheets over there. And he's like, oh, thank you. Thank you, ladies. I will go kill myself. Or I'm just like,
it's in the backyard and it's like flopped over the clothesline and it's just like soaked. There's like a huge piece.
Excuse me, lady, Flego. And I'm just like, yeah, it's like, I get that. Totally.
That's how you relate to him. That's a big bedwetter.
My favorite Sandler movie is Mr. Deeds, but like, there's a whole different realm of that. But like, I like Sandler movies, but you have to go into a Sandler movie knowing there's going to be somewhat of, you know, dumb humor, the same way as like an, like you go in and watch, was it an Austin Powers movie? And it's like, is that a giant Johnson? Don't look at that. And it's just like, it's like, and I'm just like, it's funny for that time and it's still funny today, but you know, it's coming. It's like Family Guy. You know, there's like a 5 to 10 second thing in Family Guy where it's literally just Peter holding his knee or an awkward silence where they don't do anything. And you're just like, you had to fill time. They're like, you're watching Family Guy. You knew. What are you talking about?
That's when he like bumps his knee and he does the. And then it just goes and goes.
I feel like most episodes in Family Guy had that, where there's even ones where like Brian and Stewie are sitting down and Brian says something like relatively racist. And then Stewie just does the. And then that's like 10 seconds of that. And I'm just like, okay.
Yeah,
I feel like they go into the boardroom meetings and like, okay, the episode is 23 minutes, and like we keep telling you it has to be 28, and they're like, I got an idea.
I tell you what, I have what I'd like to call a perfect solution. What we're going to do, it's called, some people call it killing time. Yeah. I'm not going to call it that. I'm going to call it real good comedy here.
Yeah. I'm going to call it creative genius or drawing humor. They're like, do you mean dry humor? No, because the guy just stopped drawing. Yeah. And then you just kind of rotate the head and that makes it humorous. And they're like, have no idea what you're talking about, Seth, but love it. You survived 9/11, you get a free pass.
Yeah. Did you say dry humor? I said, no. Drawing
humor. Drawing humor.
Yeah.
I'm so glad we have a translator. Like,
exactly.
I want to ask you, because when we're talking about seasons and sometimes you kind of dive into a season, you like it, or some people take time. Now, I will be full on honest here. Uh-huh. My roommates were into Letterkenny way before I was even watching it. And I was kind of like, it's on Crave. I don't fucking want to pay for Crave. I was like, I got Netflix. I got all this shit. What are you doing? And they're like, but it's a Canadian show. I was like, okay. So then they were watching it. And then I like walked past and like, all right, it's okay. But again, I take a long time to get into shows. But do you think, when did you start to really see, I guess, people jump on board to Letterkenny? Because I've seen the commercials on TSN. I know TSN sometimes brings in characters when they're doing like trade deadlines and stuff. But when did you start to see like, hey, we got something going here?
Well, it kind of depends on, because I feel like there's two levels to that, right? So the first level of thinking about like, hey, we might have something going on here was sort of the first time that happened was when we started with the web series. And so when we did the web series, which were, 5 episodes, 2 minutes each, right? So the first one of those type of moments happened with the web series when I believe it was the fifth video, the hockey players video. One of those moments where we're like, holy shit, I think we might have something here, was when the view count like started to rack up. And that was kind of a thing where it was like, because we really liked it. We thought it was really funny to begin with anyway. So we're going to do it, you know, regardless. But when the view count started racking up and racking up and racking up and racking up, and then overnight, and it was just like, oh, holy shit, we may really have something here, you know, just speaking on specific numbers and stuff like that. And to go along with that, then having people stop me on the street and be like, hey, you're that guy from those YouTube videos. Those, like, those two combined, that was a big sort of like, oh, shit, we may have something going on here. Because like that was kind of a big one for that. And then I'm not exactly sure. So, okay, so then fast forward. So now we're in production, you know, and we've already done, you know, we've done a season, I think it was, or whatever. And then when we got renewed, the network decided to take, holy shit, like, we have something good. So when we got renewed for a contract that was like X amount of seasons more, that was another big aha, like, oh, okay. Wow. Like, they have a lot of confidence in us. So that means to them, they're excited. So that means like, oh shit, this may really go somewhere. So first of all, to get, you know, the YouTube count, you know, the numbers, that was a big one. And then obviously getting a TV deal in the first place was like, oh shit, nice. Get it. We get to be on TV. This is going to be awesome. So those were big ones. And then, but once we were on the air, then, and I'm not sure exactly what season it was, but when they wanted like a larger episode order, then we were kind of like, oh wow, this is really nice. Again, they've got a lot of confidence in us. So that makes it be like, oh shit, this could really go somewhere and it could have longevity. So those were the two type of moments where it was, I guess, apparent in my mind. And I think a lot of the guys would agree as well, that was kind of like, oh shit, we could have something here that could go for a while. And that's a type of feeling, you know, you rarely get that, especially with, you know, in today's age, if you want to call it that, where there's so much content, right? There's so much. And so to get renewed and to have bigger episode orders, that's just like, that's the money in the fucking bank right there, as confidence from the network, and being like, oh shit, nice. We may have a job for a while and be able to do this thing that we love doing so much. And that's just like, that's fucking awesome. And that feeling is so great because, again, not only are you working with people that you really like, you know, you get to work with your friends who were all actors to begin with anyway. So it's not like, you know, they don't have any, no juice or anything like that, but that's just huge. And that's such a big, like, that is like a really, like, honestly, just a huge smile and kind of like a, wait a minute. You're fucking with me here. Yeah, we don't get to do this longer, do we? Because it feels like you're fucking with me right now. Yeah, yeah. But then you do, and then you realize like, oh shit, this could go for a while. And goddamn, I hope it does, because it's so much fun.
Because I think it's interesting, because when you mentioned about the kind of, I guess, yeah, the generational age of TV now, like, I look at, because we had this conversation with Dylan way back, and like, Dylan was maybe like, if I'm remembering it, maybe like episode 30 or 40 of this podcast. We've had like maybe 200 now, so it's like, kudos to me.
So let's just stop really quickly here. Kudos to me.
Kudos to me. I'm doing that deliberately because I'm sure there's someone out there now that is going to be like, man, see, he always talks about himself. And I'm just like, got to make sure that one hater gets these comments.
Got to make sure the one hater actually gets a big old fuck you.
Yeah. But like, so Dylan had mentioned to me, like, because back in the day, if you wanted a Canadian show, you were going on CBC, or you're lucky to get on like CTV. Like, we have like Hudson and Rex down here like Newfoundland. Yeah. And I'm sure like you've had, say, like Arrested Development, but like, you're kind of like really focusing in on people turning on the TV and physically sitting down watching it. So do you find like now with the generation that we're in, that kind of helps you continue to do seasons? Cause people now can watch it on their own time. They can like Crave kind of gets the benefit, because if they want to watch Yee, they have to download Crave. And yeah, that's my Newfoundland Yee. There you go. Now there's another comment that's just to like, fucking Newfoundlanders, why do we keep letting them run things?
Newfies.
But do you find that like that helps? Because now people don't necessarily have to be like, oh, Letterkenny's on at 6 o'clock. My kid has hockey at 6:30. Jacob, you're out of fucking hockey. I want to watch Letterkenny.
By the way, I'm pulling you out, motherfucker. Yeah, no, I think that's a big one, right? Because like you're saying, okay, so, you know, time was that it was like, okay, so Letterkenny comes on 6 p.m. on Thursday. And if you don't hit it, hopefully you can catch a rerun later that night, or, you know, later a couple of days in the week or whatever. But then there was the nice little like, you know, TiVo box or whatever, right? So then you could record it. So then you could, you know, watch it at a later time or something like that or whatever. But with streaming, which is great, so not only is it there, so you can go click a button and you can watch it whenever you want. You can, you know, pause it halfway through. You can do whatever. But also, instead of, and I mean, it's different. Obviously, different shows are doing different things now. But instead of, okay, so Sunday, this comes on at 9 and it's one episode per week, you know, for X amount of weeks, whatever. But when you have an entire season come out, man, not only is, and everybody loves this word, binge, you can fucking watch the entire thing in one go. So that really helps. Also, too, I think it really helps because it keeps people interested. I mean, if it, obviously, I mean, hopefully they're going to be fucking interested either way, but it really
does. I lost interest. I'm not binging this. No.
No, I am not binging this anymore. I am turning it off halfway through. But if you have that, it's just like that type of interest is fantastic with the binge. And so, yeah, so I think it really, really helps. And it helps instead of, okay, now I need to, do you remember, I remember, like, you know, watching shows like Seinfeld and stuff like that. And if they ever had like a two-part episode, it would be, and if you remember last week on Seinfeld, so you'd have to watch the recap. But with streaming, you don't have to do that. You can watch, you already know what happens. And then so you can just pick up right where you left off. And so the interest is right there all the time. So it just continues, which is great because then it lets people, if there is, say, a story arc that goes all through, say, 6 episodes of a season, you can just keep on going and going and going and going. And even if they're self-contained episodes that you don't necessarily have to watch the one before, you still are interested. And that's the main part, is that you're interested in it and you're going like, oh, I remember this. I remember this character's name and I remember what they were doing. And I remember these nuances about the show. And I remember this inside joke. And now they're bringing that joke back. And so I love that. And I think that really does help people. And again, I'll say it, keep people interested. Because with so much content, sometimes if you are not the most interesting thing, it's hard and people can really like lose it and just be like, well, you know, maybe I'll come back to it later, but maybe I won't come back to it later. And so hopefully you do. And yeah, man, with a, like a full season coming out at one time, you can hit it and just keep going, which I think is amazing because it just helps with the story as well. It keeps people interested. The story's fun, and you just keep going, and people know what's going on from A all the way to B, C, D, E. You know, like it just helps that way. Yeah, so I love that.
It's fine to watch like old shows now that you can stream because they do that. Like I remember, what's the one I'm looking at? Like it's Boy Meets World. That's like one of my favorite shows. But it's like you see an episode where like Corey and Topanga are about to break up, and then they kind of leave it on that cliffhanger, and then as a kid, when you're watching it, you're like, oh, like that's okay. I'll stay tuned next week because I want to see what happens. But then when you stream it now, it's like last week on, it's like last week. What? It's like, no, I just watched that 2 seconds ago. Like,
wait, do you mean 30 seconds
ago? My favorite one, and like I always do it during the summer, kind of when sports were over. Like I'm a big wrestling fan. And so when I was growing up, you'd watch like Monday Night Raw or SmackDown.
Yes.
You'd go to school and then I like this as like a comedy bit where it's like, you know, when your friend went to sleep, because it was almost I watched Raw last night. It's like, I watched Trish versus Lita. It's like, oh, so you stayed up till 11 o'clock. It's like, okay, how late did you stay up? It's like, I seen Benoit in the main event. And you're just like, you stayed up to the main event?
It's like, and you're here? You got main event? You got main event? Fuck!
Yeah. It's like, and what happened? They're like, you have to wait. And I'm just like, don't do that to me, Jeremy. Like, tell me what happened. But like now, when I go and watch it on the network, it's like, it's just so quick. Like, I'll look at, say, like a John Cena feud with Booker T, and I'm sure that ranged for like a good 3 months. And I will sit there for like a night and just be like, wait, we're at SummerSlam already, but he just fought him like last week for, and I'm like, how long have I been sitting here? And then like your niece will be like, we arrived 5 minutes ago. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
I'm just like, when did you show up? I just told you 5 minutes ago.
Oh shit. We're already at the Palace of Auburn Hills and we're at SummerSlam already. Like what the fuck?
Yeah. But it's so nice. Cause I like watching it as like a kind of like, again, just something to enjoy. Cause you grew up watching it. But now I have a niece and nephew that, like, if you show them a recent picture of Shawn Michaels, they don't know that Shawn Michaels because they're watching it from 2005 with me. So, like, then they're just going around the room going, like, sexy boy. And I'm just and then, like, my brother will come in and be like, you were watching wrestling with him again. And I was like, yeah. He's like, okay, that's fine. But he's like, can you keep it current? He's like, I don't want Michael or my going to school and singing a song as 20 years old. And the kids are like, what have you been watching? He's like, wrestling.
Sexy boy.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not your boy toy. And then there's like some kids like, dear Brian, your nephew keeps on referring to things as boy toys. I am confused. It's like, I'm also confused. I'm 30 and I don't know what he means either.
It's like, welcome to the club. I'm fucking confused too, man.
Yeah. I'm still confused. Yeah. I watched it. I'm confused. Yeah. Like, I want to ask you a little bit about, like, I know we kind of talked about Letterkenny and the whole production side of it, or like how it came to be, but I want to get the behind the scenes, because obviously there's a lot of, I guess, timing that has to work out for this to end up in the same place. Like, you went obviously going into acting. I think it's funny that you have a whole bunch of like hockey players turned actors, and it's just like, all right, well, can you fucking save some shit for me? Like, I like acting, but I'm not a hockey player. Like, it's like a role for Letterkenny. I'm like, all right, I applied because I'm an actor. It's like, do you also play hockey? No, I'm terrible at hockey. They're like, no. I'm like, hold the fucking phone. I didn't say I was auditioning to be a hockey player. Yeah, but all these guys are hockey players. What are you going to talk about? I'm like, I'm Canadian. I can talk hockey.
I'm Canadian. I can obviously talk hockey. It's not a big deal. Yeah.
But tell me the whereabouts, because I know, like, I think it's Jared and yourself were playing hockey. Vancouver?
Yeah, in Vancouver.
This whole idea comes to be, then like Dylan comes aboard. He has his friend that comes aboard. Is it Andrew?
Andrew. Yeah. He plays Jonesy. Plays Jonesy. Yeah.
They come aboard, and then I'm just like, it just seems like a match made, but just tell me the whole, how the idea came about.
So here's what happened. So I met Jared for the first time in Vancouver, and this is a long time ago now. I think I met Jared in, maybe about 2010 or something like that. Anyway, so here's what happened. So Jared and I met through some mutual friends. There is this bar in Vancouver called Section 3, which is no longer a bar. It doesn't exist anymore or whatever, right? So Jared worked at Section 3, and I and these are all at different times. So Jared worked there at one time. I worked there at one time. Dylan worked there at one time.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so that's one thing. But the main thing was, we all played on on a rec league hockey team together. So our rec league hockey team was called the Trappers. And so we used to play out at UBC. And here's what happened. We were all actors, but the following people played on the same team, on the beer league hockey team together. So it was Jared, myself, Dylan Playfair, Andrew Herr, Tyler Johnston, and the man who plays the ginger named Jamie LaPointe. Okay. So there were six of us that played on this beer league hockey team together. And we were all, except for the ginger, we were all actors that happened to play on the same beer league team together. So that's how we all met. Now, the way that Jared and I started working together was, so I grew up in Calgary and I'm a huge Calgary Flames fan. Jared is a huge Calgary Flames fan as well. So we kind of immediately bonded over that, over our love of the Flames. And he and I, you know, we always just had fun riffing with each other, just like sending each other like joke text messages and shit like that or whatever. So we used to send puns on the last names of hockey players on the Flames, right? Okay. So we did that. And then we turned those into like YouTube shorts, and we called them Three Flames Fans. And so it was just like a little storyline, and it was all just, the crux of it was puns on the last names of hockey players. So we did a couple of those, and we just had some fun. And, you know, and again, we were both actors before that. Then we did another one called A Couple of Jays Fans, which was a baseball themed one or whatever. And then Jared approached me and said, hey, listen, I've got this idea, and I wonder if you want to get together and just read it with me. Tell me, and if you hate it, you know, we don't have to do it or anything like that. He's like, but do it. And so I had so much fun working with Jared. We always had a good time, and we just like laugh our asses off anyways. And so in my head, I'm going, well, even if it's shit, we're going to have fun anyway. We're going to fucking hang out anyways. So he came to me with a thing called Letterkenny Problems, he titled it. And so basically what it was one-liners straight to camera, and it was going to be the problems that you would find in a small town. And so how that came about was Jared and his friends did an anonymous Twitter account called Listy Problems. And it was about his town, Listowel, Ontario. And it was just some like problems you might run into in a small town. And so they had a Twitter account. So anyways, so Jared turned that into a script, and it was one-liners straight to camera, just like funny, like obviously extrapolated, you know, from what the actual problems were, into one-liner straight to camera. So it would be, he would do one, then I would do one, then he would do one, then I would do one. And that's how it came about. And then that got quite popular. So we did 3 episodes of that where it was just different problems you might fucking run into in a small town. And then by the 4th episode, we kind of incorporated a story. That was where we first incorporated the produce stand, where it was like a city guy comes up to the produce stand and, you know, he's looking for organic vegetables while he's smoking darts, like that kind of thing, whatever. And then the 5th one was when Andrew and Dylan got involved, and it was 2 hockey players. And so we decided that they were going to be dating Jared's sister, and he hated them because of that. And so they showed up, and we just ripped into them. And that's where the storyline came from. And that's how we could potentially turn it into a series. And that was it, where it was like, oh, well, we've got these hockey players. They like your sister. We hate them. Let's fuck with them. And let's use our wordplay. Fuck with them big time. And that's where it went. And so that's how the whole thing started. But it all started because we all knew each other playing on this beer league hockey team together. And then also, you know, Jared and I had so much fun just dicking around, putting up videos on YouTube and stuff like that. So that's where it came from. And then instead of, because you know how normally it would be, okay, if you want a series, you shoot a pilot, right? And you can show a network as part of like a pitch package. Okay, so this is what we can do, and we can, you know, turn this into a series and blah, 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 whatever. But these videos showed, first of all, metrics showed numbers about how many people watched them, and then showed basically a story arc about where it could go and all these different avenues as to where the show could go. And then they liked it. And then bada bing, bada boom. You know, and then out of Jared's head came these episodes, seasons, and, you know, fucking years later. And then you were on this big show that people seem to like quite a bit. So,
so there's two things to that. I now understand why Section 3 was closed down, because it's
That's great.
Like all of you playing. I know you said different time frames, but can you imagine, like, you go to the match, Jared's like, okay, Dylan wants to be off, Andrew, like, Nathan and Jared. It's like, for what? They have hockey night. Who's fucking covering? It's like, okay. And then, like, now then your hockey team hates you because all of you are like, you know, that's like a whole lineup right there. And that lineup is like a third, like in third line, basically your third line is just basically like, we're not playing tonight. Why? We're just working on some things. It's like, fucking hate actors, man.
Totally. Yeah. And then, and that's it. Well, and then it comes down to, you know, I mean, you make the decision. It's like, okay, either work a shift. Oh, and by the way, though, working at Section 3 was one of the funnest jobs I've ever had in my entire life. It was all friends. It was so much fun, but it was just like, yeah, it would come down to like, well, because, you know, like it's hard enough to get people out for beer league hockey anyway. So if 4 of us don't show up, well, that means there's now 2 people playing for the whole game, you know?
Absolutely. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to ask you a little bit about your character on the show. So Daryl, but like.
Yes.
Hello, I'm Wendy Messley.
There you are. A lot of people have wondered what happened to you.
I could say the same about you, Maureen Holloway.
Well, here we are, a few years after we left our previous jobs. We've been busy.
We have a podcast. I know, you're thinking, who doesn't? But ours is really good. It's called Women of Ill Repute.
We don't just talk to women, though. Just the most interesting people you'd ever want to meet.
Artists, musicians, comedians, doctors.
Activists, convicts, writers, sex workers.
Drop some names.
Jan Arden, Pamela Anderson, Bruce Coburn.
Samantha Irby, Louise Penny, Marilyn Dennis, Colin Mockery.
We laugh, we cry, sometimes we argue. Come and find us.
Our website is womenofillrepute.com.
Or try Apple, Spotify, and all the podcast places.
So now you know what happened to us. Women of Ill Repute.
Hi, I'm Steve Yerko.
And I'm Tara Sands. Now available from Maji Media is our new podcast, 4Kids Flashback. 4Kids is the company who brought you the English dub of Pokemon in the late 90s and so many other shows like Yu-Gi-Oh!, Shaman King, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Kirby, the infamous One Piece dub, and so many more.
We'll be talking to the people who worked at 4Kids. Actors, directors, writers, editors, producers, engineers, you get the point. And hopefully get the answers to questions both you and I have about the company.
I actually worked there as a voice actor on some of the shows.
And I was a kid watching the shows and remember way more than Tara does.
And thank God for that. Steve is actually a professional storyboard artist, which gives some really unique insights into anime and animation. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts. That's the number 4 Kids Flashback.
I've seen clips, I've watched it. Now, I can't say I'm up to date with like the recent seasons, sure. But is Daryl just kind of like the butt of the joke here a lot of the times? Because what I'm seeing is I relate to Daryl in some ways, because like I've seen one clip earlier where you don't want this party. You don't want this like terrible party idea where it's right. like, and then the sister comes out and Wayne comes out and they're more or less like, no, it's a tradition. We're doing it. It has to be done. And then I'm just like, man, I remember those kids parties where it's almost like, dude, I want a Spider-Man party. Well, we're going to invite over your neighbors. I'm like, I don't want that guy. That guy put me in like one of those turtle sandboxes and wouldn't let me breathe. And we're going to invite him over. It's like, yeah, but we're friends with his mom. And I'm just still like, okay, you can be friends with him. Don't make me be friends with him. Is that like the assumption here? Because like some of the stuff, like I get the idea here is Daryl has big vocabulary, but then there's simple words that he just cannot say. But like he can still snap at you, like have a good comeback. Yeah. But he just seems kind of clueless.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there definitely is a little bit of clueless there for sure. I think there's two aspects of it. Right. So I think if you take the Hicks as a group, right. So you take Daryl, Dan, Wayne, and Katie. Right. So kind of without fail within that group, Daryl becomes the butt of the joke, but when it involves the other groups, it's like a Power Rangers type of thing. It's like everybody then bands together as well as Daryl, and then you fuck up the other group more, right? So if it's just the four of us together, I kind of take a bit of shit, you know? Yeah. And I take a bit of shit sitting around the table and kind of like, Gary, like you stink. You know, you're in your barn clothes, like way to go, like that type of thing or whatever. But when another crew comes and tries to fuck with us, we all band together. And all of a sudden, Daryl's got a switch in his head that's just like, and here's my thesaurus and here we go and fuck you guys, you know? And then all the other people come to the rescue as well. And it's just like, no, like we can fuck with them, you know, like we can fuck with ourselves. But when somebody else comes and tries to fuck with us, well, now you've kind of, you've poked the bear, and the bear doesn't like to get poked, and the bear wants to kind of fuck you up, you know, either using, you know, being a wordsmith or, I don't know, a punch. I don't know. So you can fuck them up either way. Right. Yeah.
I feel like it's very relatable in the sense, like, so I'll use the aspect of like from Newfoundland, like, so like if a Newfie and another Newfie call each other Newfies and they make jokes about Newfies, that's cool. But like if someone from outside the realm, like someone from Ontario and you don't know them well, goes like, oh, like this newbie comes into a bar and thinks he can, I'm just like, okay, easy. Like you might've just had that as like, hey, you guys are fun, relaxed people. I was just joking, but it's like, we can do that because we've lived through this, but like we can still embrace you. You can still be a part of it someday, but right now, easy.
It would be like the way that I sort of look at it too, it's like, okay, so the big brother aspect of it, right? Okay, so if it's all right if my big brother wants to kick my ass and wants to call me an idiot and, you know, wants to fuck with me and stuff like that, that's fine. As soon as somebody that's not him comes around and tries to fuck with me, that's not cool. And it's just like, oh, no, you don't fuck with him. I can fuck with him, you know, because we're family and that's the same thing. Yeah. Like we're family, we can fuck with each other, but an outsider, it's just like, you have certainly not earned the right. And also, okay, yeah, you're poking the bear here and you're going to get fucked with because there's too much loyalty here and that's not going to be good. Yeah. So if you're in the inner circle, meaning family or very, very tight knit friends, fine. Yeah. Call me a newbie, kind of fuck with me like that. Somebody who is not, don't do that because fuck you and I don't know you well enough and you're going to get a fucking kick in the teeth.
I like when you mentioned about poking the bear, because I think one of the biggest characters that you don't want to poke the bear on this show is Shorzy. I feel like Shorzy is not a person you want to poke.
Right.
Like, I know it's more or less a Jared concept, or like Jared's like the kind of Shorzy guy, but like how essentially did he get implemented into this show? Because it just seems like Shorzy's just there as almost like, all right, you two smart ass hockey players, or for anybody who really wants to talk to Shores, he just gets burned immediately. Right. But it just seems like I'll refer to the Family Guy moment where it's like dead air time, where it's almost like, okay, Shorzy, this is your like 3 minutes of straight burns.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's like, that's sort of like, and you're not wrong there. That's sort of like the same idea as like, okay, so if in the earlier episodes and then in the later episodes too, so if the Hicks are all sitting at the produce stand, right? And then so, and especially like in the earlier episodes when the two hockey players, when Dylan and Andrew would come up to the produce stand, they would say something and think that they were kind of funny or whatever. And then there's definitely a couple of times throughout the show where I look at Daryl looks at Wayne, Wayne looks at Daryl, and then we just go in on them for the next, you know, three pages of dialogue, just like calling them out and being idiots. So that's what it is. So it's just like, yeah, you're just going to get laid into like that. You know, it's just like kind of, you know, maybe you started and you wanted to have a little bit of a joust verbally or something like that, but it's like, no, oh, guess what? You know what? You're going to stop talking and we're going to fucking tear you apart right now for the next three pages of dialogue. Yeah. And so I think that's like, that's kind of really fun because then it's like, it almost puts like obviously an exclamation mark on all of the jokes and all of the cut downs. But then at the end of it, it's like, period, end of sentence. We're fucking done. Okay. Yeah. Beat it. We just fucked you. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I always think it's funny because when it comes to Riley's character and it's like, when they're there and they're having this battle with Shorzy, it always ends up with like them saying something to Shorzy, and it's like they're like, haha, we got you this time, Shorzy, and then Shorzy's just like chirp, and the next minute it's like the going between is like, fuck you Shorzy, and then it just gets like progressively more sad where you see their face goes like, fuck you Shorzy, and then it's just like, stop talking to him.
You know what, and I gotta give credit to Dylan and Andrew too. They're really, really good at that, and they're really good at playing up the you know, they still want to be in there to try and stand their ground a little bit, but it's kind of like it starts off with a fuck you and then it's like a fuck you, like I'm still there.
I'm still in this battle, but I don't know how much longer I'm going to stay here.
Exactly. And again, credit to like Dylan and Andrew are fucking so good at that. And the switch for them that comes within those interactions is just incredible. And I find those guys absolutely hilarious when they do that. Like when they start, they've got their big fucking chest puffed out. We're going to do this, whatever. And then it's just like beaten down, but still trying to be like, fuck you, you know, just trying to get that, like that across. It's hilarious. And man, again, like Dylan and Andrew, like those guys are such fucking talented guys too, and comedically and as actors and stuff like that, like they're so fucking good at it.
Nathan, to kind of close it out, I want to have, if you don't mind, having a fun game of random questions.
Done. I love random questions. Let's do it.
Okay. And then the first one, you're going to be like, I did not sign up for that. That's not what I asked for.
No. That's when I go, oh shit, I think I'm losing connection here. And I just close the laptop.
and then that's when I like being not self-aware. I'll be like, oh, is he back? Is he back? It's like, Brian, it's two hours ago.
Can we get him back, please? I think we should get him back. Yeah.
PR. All right, how long did you go for? I'm just like 3 hours. Like 3 hours. What?
I'd be like 3 hours. But it looks like you've got about 2 hours of darkness there. That's a little bit weird.
Sorry, my camera wasn't on. all right. So the first random one they have is, if you could play any character in like a TV show, what would it be?
Holy fuck. Does it have to be drama, comedy? What could it be? Could be anything?
It's wide open. I'll leave it wide open.
Okay. I love Matthew McConaughey's character in True Detective season one.
Oh, really? Okay.
I love that character. I think it's awesome. He's fucking verbose. He is weird and dark, but he knows what he's doing. He's also very like, he's calm, he's understated, but he's a fucking badass.
Are we talking about the character or Matthew in general? No,
I'm talking about the character. God knows how close it is to him, but no, I love that man. Him in True Detective season one is awesome. If we're talking about comedy, I would love to play Will Arnett's character in Arrested Development. I'd love to play Joe Bluth. I think that'd be fucking, that would be so much fun. Plus that set looked like it would be so much fun to do. It looks like you could play around so much and have a fun time. Plus too, it's like, you know, working on a comedy, there's so much opportunity. Like there's obviously opportunity to have funny when the camera's rolling and the stuff that they keep, but stuff when, you know, that they don't keep and stuff like that, man, being on a comedy is so much fun because you get to joke and laugh and you get to have fun at your job. Like, fuck, what could be better than that? And my answer is, I don't know. So I'd love to play Joe Bluth, or again, on the flip side of that, McConaughey in True Detective season one for sure. Yeah.
I think I just like to be like, if it was for me, I think I just like to be like an extra in like the Big Bang Theory, just because I think I could play like, I could say Friends, but I don't see myself as being like a friend group. Like just say like, how did he get into the friend group? And I'm like, I'm written off within two seasons because I'm like the dork that Phoebe dated or something. But like in Big Bang Theory, I could just be like this random asshole for like five seasons or just periodically shows up and like I'm Leonard's nemesis because I'm just there. It's like, we gotta deal with Daryl in biochem or something. And I'm like,
of course.
There you go.
Well, you could do like Paul Rudd in Friends for like the last couple of seasons. You remember when he was in there? Yeah, there you go. There's yours. Yeah,
awesome. I'm sure Paul Rudd would be happy to hear that. He'd just be like, "Wait, what?" He's like, "You're taking no, Paul. It's done. This is hypothetical. Leave me alone."
Paul, hypothetical. Don't get mad, man. Yeah.
Well, it's like a very underrated show. But I could say, I could see yourself or like either one of us really being in it. It's like two guys, a girl, a pizza place. Ryan Reynolds starred in that one. But
yeah, big time.
I watched that and I'm just like, how did you not have more seasons? I'm like, it's peak Ryan Reynolds. And if anyone's like, how did Ryan Reynolds become famous? I'm like, I don't know, but I'm convinced that this should have been the starting point.
Totally right. Yeah, 100%.
Let's see. The next random one here. What position would you play in a sport if it wasn't hockey?
Does it have to be a team sport? Obviously.
Yeah. Because what do you mean? You're going to play a position in tennis where it's like, I'm not playing singles.
No, but you could do like, sorry. And this is how weird my brain is. This is just being very honest here. I was like, huh, well, if you were a bobsledder, would you be the front or the back? Honestly, that's actually what I thought.
I like when people's minds go that way. Because when I read the question, I was like, other than that, I'm like, maybe it's normal thinking here, Nathan. But I was just like, I defender in soccer. And this is where my mom comments, and your mom would actually comment and be like, he's normal, I swear.
He's normal. Don't pay any attention to this. It's he's been inside all winter. Right.
He hasn't slept. Look at his eyes. Yeah. His pupils are like, I'm like, get out of here. Get out of here, Miss Dales.
What position? You know what? I'd like to play point guard basketball.
Okay.
Because I like shooting the ball and I'm pretty good at shooting three pointers. No big deal.
Really? Okay. I feel
I'm certainly not tall enough. I'd add, here's what I'd do. If I was gonna play point guard, I would add 3 more inches and then I'd play point guard.
There you go. Yes. I sometimes you know what? Sometimes the wording in basketball confuses me when it's like he's a short, so like short guard or short point or something. I'm just like, he's 7 foot. How fucking short can he be? It's like, no, sir. That's the position he plays.
I guess it's all relative, right? But short does not fucking enter into the equation. There's like one Muggsy Bogues, and that's it.
That is when you say that is a short guard. He is the only person that can claim to be short guard. When you say like, what position does LeBron play? I'm like, again, because it's Canadian. I'm like, probably plays power forward. They're like, no, actually, they call him a short point guard. I'm like, at what point is he short? Like, what are we measuring? His feet? Like, is that
Yeah, are we measuring the distance from the top of his head to the roof of the fucking stadium?
That's why he's short, because technically it's
this,
not.
Yeah, it's like this and this. Okay, okay, then technically he's short because he's a few feet away from the roof of the stadium. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Or unless they go by temper. It's like, he's a short.
Hey, now you're talking. Maybe it has nothing to do with height. It's how fast you burn the fuse. Yeah.
Okay, this one's good. What is a red flag for you?
What is a red flag?
Yeah, like something that like it just instantly like I know they sometimes you'll see it on Instagram where they're like, hey, would you date someone with an Android? And girls go like, no, it has to be Blue Bubble. I'm like, that's your red flag? I'm like, I would probably be like, just don't call me an idiot. And, you know, maybe we split the bill. Is that okay?
What would be a red? So are we talking about dating here? Like what would be a red flag for dating? Yeah. A red flag for me for dating would be, oh man, that's kind of a difficult one. There can be so many.
We walked down this road with Brett Kissel, and I remember Brett Kissel saying about like the bill of when the bill comes, and he's like, and I agree with him to some extent. He's like, I believe the guy should always pay regardless of you know, how the date goes. And I'm just like, yeah, but here you go, Brett. I'm going to lay some knowledge on you. It's like, what about if, you know, the date didn't go well? She's saying she pays half. So then that way in your mind as a guy, you're like, well, if she's paying half, she's almost saying, I'm covering my ass for this awful date. And then you're just like, okay, I know not to call, know to text, leave you alone. But if you're like, if you let me pay, I kind of feel like, and again, someone will be out there now saying that is not what that means. But if you let me pay, it kind of leaves the door open where I'm like, all right, this person enjoyed the time. They're letting me treat them. So I can call or text and maybe set something up future. But if you instantly go for it, then it's almost like this did not go well.
Right. Okay. I'll tell you a red flag for dating. Here we go. So let me create a scenario here. You've eaten dinner. You're out of the restaurant. And you're going to, let's say you're going to continue the date and you're going to a bar across the street for a drink. Okay. You're at a crosswalk and the little man is no longer on there. It's flashing, don't walk. Yeah. And it's flashing and it's going, and it's like, 5, 4 and you shouldn't go. And she, without asking or without saying anything, just goes on her own without saying, let's go across the street, without checking with you, and just goes and leaves you in the dust without saying, hey, we should do this, or hey, do you want to go with me, or whatever. Yeah. It's the selfish act of going on your own across the street while the walk sign says don't walk there. Boom, that's a red flag. Yeah. That is a no good. Yeah.
That is like when you need, and I'm sure I'm futuristic, it will come when like the don't walk sign comes and they see that, because now everything has cameras on it. That is when the sign, you can go your own way. And then you're just like, you're like, it's embarrassing enough. Now you added like a monologue to this or like a voice music. Come on. Like,
Yeah.
I feel like that. That's fair. I mean, the other one, I think it's not, it's just awkwardness, but I met my buddy's girlfriend one time and we were going out for the first time to a pub, and like, I remember we brought her into our soccer team. Now I was still in Newfoundland, so I was kind of making this soccer team from Newfoundland, but they're all playing in Ottawa. I'm like, guys, I really don't have control of you. If you want to like do things, like what am I going to do? But there was a little bit of friction there. So at first I was like, all right, like, I don't know how I feel about your girlfriend because we don't get along, but like that doesn't separate what you do. But I was like, okay. He's like, she's not a very touchy person. Don't go in for a hug. I'm like, you're telling a Newfoundlander, basically. That's like saying to a Newfoundlander, don't be yourself. I'm like, okay. So okay. I was like, okay, I go for a handshake, and she went in for a hug. And so the hand just goes like right into the, like, and then I was just like, oh, and then I go for, and then she goes like, you know, that awkward. And then I was like, okay, let's just end it. Like, and then it's awkward enough. But then my friend goes like, while we're in a main road, just think like main road, like Bank Street, Toronto, probably be like, I don't know, just anywhere. But like next minute he's like, awkward. And I'm like, you made it 10 times more awkward now because you announced it to everybody.
Oh my God. Oh,
I was just like, and then you know, it's just like you're digging yourself a hole, because rather than let it go, then I yell back while they're still walking away, no, that's fine.
So what we're talking about is, I believe that's called doubling down.
Yeah. It's almost like, and again, it comes back to maybe the Newfoundland thing where I'm like, I'm embarrassed. I know they're probably embarrassed. I'm going to take on double the embarrassment. I'm going to be the nice guy.
I'm going to double down here. And it's like, listen, and in this scenario, nobody's a winner here.
It's like watching your friend fall down, like when they're drunk, and like you're like, any ordinary person would be like laughing and be like, just help them up. I'd be like, it's embarrassing. Oh shit, I fell down too. And then they're like, you did not have to fake fall down. I'm like, oh, you knew I fake fall down? Oh, man, now I'm embarrassed. And then they get up from being drunk, passed out. And then they're like, you're an idiot. You fake fell down. I'm like, I'm just trying to help you.
Yeah. Or like, hey, way to fall down, loser. It's just like, I fake fell down so that you can feel not bad. What the fuck, man?
Yeah. Now we're both losers and we're both on the ground. And some guy's just like, look, Jersey guy fell down.
Hey, look at Jersey guy. That fucker fell down. Yeah.
All right. So the last one we have, what is your favorite childhood movie?
What is my favorite childhood movie?
If you want to tag me in while you think, I can give you mine.
Let me hear yours, because that'll maybe give me, because I have one in my head. I have one. So you go. Okay.
So I would like, so I would, again, I'm going to be like the asshole that goes with, oh, can I have two options? But
I almost said that. Yeah.
Because I like The Lion King. I can watch The Lion King. And I like, for the most part, the games came out on the PC. I was like really into it. I can probably know the lyrics too. I just want to be king. So there's that. But
and I just can't wait to be king.
But I think over
I don't
time.
Make words.
No. Oh, you freeballed it. You did so well. But I think over time, if someone was like, this is your childhood movie, you have to watch it over and over. Monsters, Inc. I'd go with Monsters, Inc.
Can I tell you this? Let me give you this before I give you my answer.
Sure.
Do you know what movie, and this is not a word of a lie, do you know what movie I watched last night?
Monsters Inc. Universe. Oh, I was going to say
Monsters Inc. Yeah, nope, yeah. No shit. Monsters Inc. I'm not kidding. I swear to God, Monsters Inc. last night. Sully and Boo is maybe the greatest relationship of all time on screen.
Yeah. Well, to kind of bring it full circle here and all that is, yeah. I don't know, like, the voice actor or what the name is, and it's like she always makes fun of Mike. It's the secretary. It's like, Mike Wazowski, you're lame for one.
Yeah.
I like that impression, and I like the Family Guy one, but that one is like, anytime someone starts piss me off, I'm just like, all right, you pissed me off the other day, you can go home and leave. And then they're just like, what happened? I'm just like, you can go home with Mike and Sully.
Yeah. I like that. Fuck, what a good movie, though. Holy shit, hey. Like, yeah. What a good movie.
It's okay, sad, so though. There are sad parts to it, but go ahead.
It's incredible. No, but it's incredibly sad. It's a fucking great story. It's incredibly sad. It's heartwarming. It's funny. It's got a great relationship between Sully and Boo. It's got all of them. Man, it's in. Yeah, I love it. And like, no word of a lie, I fucking watched that last night.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll give you mine. My favorite childhood movie, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the live action version.
Okay. Pourquoi? Yep.
For a couple of different reasons. Number one,
I got my French tech, so now I can stream this in Montreal. No.
We.
Yeah, there you go. So we're good.
I love that Jim Henson did all the costumes for it, right? Like, they were actual costumes. They weren't CGI. They were fucking actual people in the suits and doing that. The Ninja Turtles were like skateboarding kind of punk rockers. I love the story of the Ninja Turtles. You know, it's crawling around in the ooze. I love that it's set in New York. Elias Koteas as Casey Jones. April O'Neil is awesome. It's a great fucking band together and have a great time and get Shredder and stuff. I just love it. And it's a movie that I've watched over and over and over again when I was a kid. I love it so much. It's an awesome story. It's got skateboarding in it. They love pizza. They live in the sewer. As a kid, I basically wanted to live like in the Ninja Turtles lair in the sewer, you know.
Your mom was like, do you want to end up like the Ninja Turtles as if that was a bad thing? You're like, absolutely. And they're like, hold on, maybe I fucked that one up for you. Do you not want to be like a Ninja Turtle?
Yeah. And I said, if I am lucky, I will end up like the Ninja Turtles, for God's sakes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then like, as an actor, like when you didn't have a TV show or like whatever, you're like, I am actually a Ninja Turtle and this is not fun. I am really in the gutter.
Yeah, when I found out being in the gutter actually really sucks.
Yeah.
I was not
a Ninja Turtle. I did not like it.
Yeah. But then I thought like, well, maybe Shredder's onto something. Organized crime seems to pay, you know. Yeah.
But like, do you ever go back and watch some children's movies and you're just kind of like, I don't know why I was like heavily interested or invested in this? Like, I love the Disney, the Mighty Ducks movies, but the concept, when you look at it years later, you're like, the Triple Deke faked out a fucking goalie. I'm just still like, that's a fucking ordinary move today, boys.
Dude, the triple deke stop, have a go at it.
Yeah, and the goalie's like, oh, how did I fuck that up? I'm like, try that in the NHL. The guy's like, yeah, nice try.
Yep, just
like, but it worked. It worked in the Mighty Ducks. It's like, yeah, win in the 90s. Yeah. You have Trevor Zegers going behind the net with the – do that in the Mighty Ducks, and I'll believe you.
But you know what's kind of great, though, is, like, you know, having Disney Plus and stuff like that, you get to see all those movies again. Like, you can see Mighty Ducks. You can see D2. You can see D3. Actually, you know what? And Dylan Playfair is in the new Mighty Ducks series, you know? Like, and it's just like – I like it. I mean, man, I loved those fucking movies. They were awesome. And Emilio Estevez was great as like the coach. You know, they were great. Yeah. They are a little bit
timely.
Timely.
Yeah.
We'll call it timely. Still entertaining as fuck, though.
Oh yeah. Well, I've never, so some people like criticize me because like I'll say like, oh, so great to grow up in the 90s and the early 2000s. And then like, I don't know. There's certain things that I don't know. Like recently, say in the last movie, 10 years got into Goo Goo Dolls, and I'll listen to like a 90s song, and they'll be like, how did you not listen to it when you're in the 90s? I'm like, because I was six. I didn't know what fucking depression was. Leave me alone. But I watched
Even if I did listen to the song, I didn't know what depression was then.
It's like, I remember the other night I was watching, I think it was like the first Sister Act with my mom for the first time. And I was like, I want to know like all about Whoopi Goldberg. I was just like, listen, I admire her. She's good. She's great in like things she does. But there are scenes that I'm just sitting like, bruh, like how'd you not get shot there? Like literally you have them cornered in this like bar or well-established area, and then all the nuns come out and be like, don't shoot. I'm like, no, that would be like the guy, they like bang, bang, bang. Like, what do you
One,
mean?
Don't two, shoot? Three, four. Or, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Or when they catch her and like the two bad guys is like, we can't kill her. She's a nun. It's like, and he's like, but she's a fake nun. He's like, well, we don't know if she, I'm just like, no, that's so dumb. Like, why do you care? You're murderers. Why do you care if she's a real nun or a fake nun?
Hold on a minute. You're murderers. I didn't think you cared if they were.
Yeah. Like your mafia. Yeah. It's like, I know we offed like three guys this week, but I promised to my mom, I was never going to off a nun.
I swore on my mother's life and to her face, I would never off a nun.
Yeah. Anyone else? Billy down the street? That little boy that brings you the paper? I'll off him, but that's none? Yeah. Not for a nun.
I'll off the little boy who brings you the paper, but a nun, that is off limits.
Yeah. That's where you cross the line.
That's going to do it for this episode of Tobin Tonight. Our thanks to Nathan Dales for coming on to the show. Remember, you can find past, present, and future episodes on TobinTonight.com, Spotify, and iTunes. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and leave a comment or two. For Tobin and myself, this is Jacob saying thank you for listening and good night.
You looking to make the most out of this life and optimize your personal wellness? Then check out the Natural Man Podcast. Join me, host Mike C., as we explore all areas of human wellness, physical, mental, and emotional. Learn strategies to optimize your own well-being and be in the driver's seat of your own health. Remember, your doctor works for you. Learn biohacks, neurohacks, ways to improve sleep, and ways to optimize your body and your mind. Check us out on Apple, Spotify, The Fountain App, and at naturalmanpodcast.com.
I'm Matt Kundle, host of the Sound Off Podcast, the show about podcast and broadcast. Since 2016, we've been speaking with amazing people who have populated your ears for decades. Legendary broadcasters, research wizards, talent experts, podcasters, voice talent. Almost 400 stories, all for free. Subscribe or follow the Sound Off Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at soundoffpodcast.com.
Another Sound Off Media Company podcast.